I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for the hard-hitting analysis you won't find anywhere else.
Here's former Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus
and Bobby Belt.
10-5 victory! Cowboys win!
This is Love of the Star.
Welcome to the Love of the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105 through the Fan in Dallas. Joined as always by former Super Bowl winning NFL scout Brian Broaddus. He is now the co-host of the G-Bag Nation, 2 to 7 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday on 105 through the Fan in Dallas. He is also the pre- and post-game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys radio network. Brian Broaddus, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Robert. It's nice to not see you today.
Yeah, I don't have my camera on. I'm just I'm audio only.
Protest? Is this an audio only deal?
Yeah. This is look. We're radio guys, you and me, Brian. Mm-hmm. And so this is me essentially. I'm protesting the takeover by all the cocky video people out there who think video is so much better a medium than audio. So this is a protest specifically against our producer Peyton Russell. Who's just he's a big video snob. And so I'm saying, nope, I'm showing you how important the audio medium is. I am being loyal to our podcast listeners, the people who download it and listen to it there. So that's this is my protest of that, my solidarity with that movement today.
Well, we're all about a cause, Bob. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got to have a cause, man.
You got to have a cause. Be committed. All right. You're committed. Yes. I'd say you're committed.
I am. I'm here to really like link up with my brothers and sisters in the audio.
I'm sure you are. There you go.
Yeah. At least that's exactly how I'm presenting it anyway.
Yes,
with my camera. So Brian, we got a couple different things we can talk about this today. One of the things I really want to get into though with you is next segment we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what we may be neglecting when we look at the team building right now for this football team. You know, we look at there's talk of maybe the Cowboys should double dip on offensive line. And, you know, without a fourth round pick, that leaves you precious resources to address other needs. So is there anything that we might be overlooking? But before we do that, I know one of the positions that people would say, well, y'all are overlooking that position. You think that one's just fine. And that is the quarterback position, especially in the wake of the last episode we did where we talked about how Ian Rappaport had come out and said, Cowboys essentially were at a stalemate with Dak Prescott. They had an understanding and that the pathway is being made for him to test free agency potentially in 2025. Now, in the days since then, other people have jumped in with reports that say this will still get done and, you know, during the season, or they'll get it done before free agency. This just means they're not doing it right now, but the Cowboys have every intention to do it. And so there's a little bit of a bit of a sore soft there, Brian. But I wanted to talk with you about this current situation and approaching the potential reality that they may be moving on from Dak Prescott and what that means now for how you plot out the next maybe 18 to 24 months of how you want to address the quarterback position then. So there are a couple of different ways that you can cut at this. If you've decided you're going to move on from Dak Prescott, do you draft a quarterback, you know, this year in the first round? Do you try and make a move there? Do you say, you know what, let me find a guy I like as a bit of a project in the third round or something like that. Maybe it's Spencer Rattler, for instance, at South Carolina. You say, okay, I want to use
Leary. I'd rather have Leary from
Leary at Kentucky, who's got a big arm, can make some real NFL throws. Joe Milton at Tennessee, who just had a really nice pro day, in Knoxville. So do you get a project quarterback and say, well, let's foster this? Do you go all in on Trey Lance? Do you say, cross that bridge when we come to it? Free agency. Do you go 2025 draft? There are all these different things, these situations facing the Cowboys. So, Brian, as we look at this potential reality of life without Dak Prescott, willingly, from the Cowboys angle, willingly entering this potentially, how do you think the next steps should go? How do the Cowboys approach the situation if they have determined in their mind right now Dak Prescott is not our guy?
Okay, so you're telling me Dak is not our guy.
Yes.
So I'm moving on. I've got to fix the quarterback situation, or I've got to address it, which we're talking about right now. As you mentioned, there are a couple different ways you can go about this. I will say this. I would love to be in this situation, or have loved to have been in this situation in 2000, 2001, and 2002. I would love to have been in the situation where the ability to go get a quality NFL quarterback is there for you. I'd have given anything to trade for Aaron Rodgers. You know, I would have given anything to, with the Lions to go get Matthew Stafford, what the Rams did. You know, we didn't have that option. We tried to piece it together through the draft. Some really poor evaluations. I think today's football allows you to get a quarterback now than opposed to when it was, say, 20 years ago. And so, to me, I don't look at it as a dire situation. Losing Dak Prescott is not fun. I'm not here to say that. But he's gone. In our world right now that we're talking
about. Yeah, this hypothetical world that we're approaching.
Hypothetical world, he's gone. So now we have to think. They obviously thought enough of Trey Lance with a grade of a 1-2-0, which puts him in the top of the second round. So he would have sat on the top as they got through the draft. Trey Lance could have very well been, on my draft board then, Trey Lance could have been player 23. When you start to talk about 22 first-round grades, Trey Lance could have been player 23. Maybe he was player 23 on their stack, as we look at this. They've invested a year in Trey Lance. They went and got him for a reason. They had special practices for him. They worked with him afterwards. They put him in situations where they were trying to get an idea. The problem I run into now with Trey Lance is, do the coaches that are currently on the staff, are they here in 2025? That's going to be the problem right now. Maybe the next coach doesn't want anything to do with Trey Lance.
Right.
All that work that you put into Trey Lance is now gone. And so, or the opinions of Trey Lance are now gone. So that's a difficult situation. A lot of coaches would like to have the opportunity. Look what Sean Payton's doing in Denver, with his situation. He is going to aggressively try and go get the quarterback that he wants. And that's what a lot of coaches want to do. So Trey Lance thing, I think, is the number one area that they would go to. Then I think they would look at possibly what free agency. Now, free agency, can you get a quarterback? Can you go get a Jimmy Garoppolo? Can you go get, I'm just giving you a name like that, of a guy that's not going to cost you $40 million. So the avenue is Lance, free agency with the quarterback of Baker Mayfield, Jimmy Garoppolo, one of those type of guys, and then also looking at the NFL draft. Are you in a position where you can go and get, did your season not go as planned and you're in position to grab one of these quarterbacks in the 2025 NFL draft? So I don't think it's dire. I think it's challenging, but I don't think it's dire. Whereas in 2000, 2001, 2002, it was dire because we didn't have this type of availability of the quarterbacks that teams have today. So replacing your quarterback is not fun, but it's not a death sentence. And I think that's kind of where the Cowboys are looking at this right now.
If they were to, let's say, you know, if they've made up in their mind right now, and again, we're approaching this hypothetical in that way, that they say, hey, we got to have a new quarterback in 2025.
Yeah.
If they approach it that way, should they in that universe be trying to see what they could do to get up near the top of this draft, which is a quarterback rich draft to a lot of people at the top? If they are going to roll with Trey Lance, do they just as insurance, like, do we talk about, like we referenced at the very beginning, some of these third, fourth round type names? Like you mentioned Leary. Yeah. In fact, should that be just something that they're doing regardless of if they're keeping Dak Prescott or not? It's just taking a quarterback, you know, a flyer on a quarterback every draft or every couple drafts.
That's something that we did in Green Bay for a while with Ron Wolf. We were in it, you know, we had Brett Favre. You draft Mark Brunell. We had Ty Detmer. You know, we were always trying to hunt that quarterback in the draft. And, you know, whether you use that guy or not, you know, that was something you had. It was, you know, much like what they did with Dak Prescott, you know, with Wade Wilson. You know, he was insistent and like, listen, if you want to get this guy, these are the traits. This is what we like about Dak Prescott. You know, he did a great job of convincing the room. He went and lived with the player basically to learn about the player and to, you know, to have an ability to talk about the player. But I think in this, you know, if you look at this draft, Bobby, and the shame of it is that maybe Dallas right now doesn't have enough picks, but they've lost so much depth in their roster that, you know, it would be great to take Jordan Travis from Florida State. Michael Pratt from Tulane. Look at Sam Hartman at Notre Dame. You know, we talked about Spencer Rattler from South Carolina. Cam Ward from Washington State.
I will point out, you mentioned Michael Pratt at Tulane. Scott Tolzien, the Cowboys quarterback coach, did go to that pro day.
See, that's there you go. You know, these are, I mean, I have the utmost respect. You know, Devin Leary, we mentioned him from Kentucky, you know. There's some quarterbacks in that middle of that board. Jordan Travis, you know, horrific injury to end his season. He doesn't get hurt. Florida State's in the playoffs. Florida State is in the final four playoffs playing for a chance in the national championship. Florida State was one of the best teams I'd seen all year. You can watch Florida State's wide receivers, and the reason why you're falling in love with them is because of some of the passes that Jordan Travis was making.
Right. Know?
But you can watch Michael Pratt too with the receiver that he had, the kid Jackson. You know, there's some players that are at Tulane. Tulane the last couple of years, hell, Tulane beat USC. You know, Michael Pratt beat Caleb Williams in a bowl game, the Cotton.
Right.
So you know there are quarterbacks that are in that range from rounds 3, 4, 5 that are good quarterbacks. Like I say, Sam Hartman's an interesting guy at Notre Dame just because the fact he physically looks the part.
Him, yeah.
He, and you watch him at Wake Forest. I mean, Wake Forest is not a household name for football. They're a household name for basketball and golf. You know? It's what Wake Forest is known for.
Yep.
And they're a fine school. But, you know, he put Wake Forest on the map with the way he played. Then he went to Notre Dame, and he played fine at Notre Dame. He didn't play to the level that they thought he was going to play. But there's plenty of options here for the Cowboys if that's the route that they want to go. I just don't know if their team is currently set up to spend a pick on a quarterback, considering that they have Trey Lance already in the fold.
Have you gotten a chance yet in this draft class to watch John Rhys Plumlee from Central Florida, the quarterback?
You know what? I've seen plenty of – there's a wide receiver that you have to watch there at
Devon Baker.
Yeah, Baker. And, you know, the thing with Plumlee, and I remember him, he's kind of a guy that's – he's a bounce-around guy. When he started
big
Ole
athlete.
Miss or something like that? Was he at Ole Miss?
Yes, I believe it was Ole Miss. He definitely started at a bigger school and got to Central Florida.
Incredible athlete. Baseball player, football player. You know, he's tough. I mean, I've seen the Central Florida tape where – running with the football, you know, pulling it down, going, you know, he's just a great athlete and, you know, throws well enough. I can't sit there and say, oh, John Rhys Plumlee, would I take him in the, you know, would I take him? Did you see him at the
I saw him at the Big 12 Combine. Yeah. So I'm at the Big 12 Combine. And funny enough, we were out there. And for anybody who's ever been out to a pro day, you know, you have the quarterbacks working and there's somebody like running the script for them and running up. And I don't know if you happen to see, Brian, did you see who was running the script for him?
No, who was it?
It was Trey Lance. Trey Lance was running the workout for John Rhys Plumlee because they've been working out together. And Trey Lance was very complimentary of what Plumlee can do. And you talk to people around there, they say like, oh, man, he's got the intangibles. He's got the makeup. He's very charismatic, leads a room. Sure. Incredible athlete.
Oh,
So, I mean, you watch the tape and there's still things you're going to ask about, you know, him as a passer. And I think as
the accuracy is a problem at times.
Yeah. But I mean, we saw it in this workout a little bit, some of the accuracy that was a little bit off. But in general, I think that it would not hurt to take a flyer on a quarterback this year.
Sure.
And again, this is under the assumption that you're not going to bring back Dak Prescott. I think if you're not going to bring back Dak Prescott, you're also not going to want to go sign a free agent quarterback.
No,
I wouldn't think. Other than like, I mean, it's just a body, but you're not going to want to go play in the Kirk Cousins free agency waters. So to me, it's take a flyer on, like you mentioned, Devin Leary at Kentucky or, you know, Pratt at Tulane, Plumlee from UCF, couple them here to work with Trey Lance, 25, you enter the year probably with those two. And if it ends poorly, you're probably picking near the top of the draft in 26.
Yeah. You know, Bobby, you mentioned Plumlee in the accuracy and some of the issues there. You're saying the same thing about Dak Prescott coming out.
Sure.
You know, I mean, listen, there's...
Hey, and that's why you take flyers.
That's what I'm saying. There's third, fourth. I mean, they've tried before with the Mike Whites, you know, the world, that kind of thing.
Ben DiNucci.
But see, Ben DiNucci was... That was Mike McCarthy, you know, that was and every once in a while, you know, with the coach, you step back. See, the thing that I would worry about right now if I was in the personnel department is that am I picking players for this coach or am I picking players for potentially another coach?
Yeah, that's tough.
That's, and you know, I guarantee you Mike McCarthy is not about developing guys right now.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy is about trying to win enough games so Jerry Jones gives him a contract extension. That's why Cooper Rush, you know, guys like that are going to be in play because he knows he can win games with Cooper Rush, you know. He doesn't know if he can win a game with Trey Lance. Now, another coach could come in here and say, we can win a game with Trey Lance. We can, matter of fact, he did win NFL games. You know, the thing that, like I say, this is a very, I don't know how much say these coaches are really going to have in this draft.
Which,
that's
that's
the thing that would scare me a little bit about grabbing a quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, also, like, it feels like the scouting department in general, they know what the coach is like and they go find it based on that. And so, I mean, even if it is up to the scouts are probably saying, like, all right, I'll get traits and look in, you know, this avenue. But man, to me, Brian, I just look at quarterback and I say, quarterback is one where. Yeah, I know people talk about, well, is this a scheme fit or that? To me, it's like, well, if a quarterback can play, a quarterback can play. Mm-hmm. So you guys just need to go out there and make that evaluation on your own, regardless of what your coach is saying.
Yeah, that's, you know, a little bit what I know about Mike Zimmer. And I think, you know, maybe you're learning some things about Mike Zimmer, too. The thing I know about Mike will tell you, just go get me guys.
Yeah.
You know, go get me a guy. I mean, I've known Mike. I work with Mike. I've been with Mike. I talk to Mike. I mean, I haven't talked to him in a while, but But I know what Mike will tell you what he wants, but he's like, whoever you get me, I'll coach. That's kind of his attitude. But I do wonder, a really important draft for the Cowboys. But man, is it a draft for now or is it a draft for the future?
Yeah, you know,
that's a scary thing to have to deal with when maybe you have a couple of players on the board and the coaches say, well, we want this guy. And you're thinking like, you might not be here to coach this guy.
Right. Yeah. And it's something that's
an uneasy feeling to be in a war room with.
Definitely a factor in what the Cowboys are going to be considering when they head into the draft in April. No question about it. You are listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, Brian, we sit there and we talk about, you know, how the challenges of, is this coaching staff going to be here? You know, what are you doing at quarterback? And the one thing everybody seems to agree on right now is we got to do something about your offensive line. Because right now, as it stands, you don't know with confidence who's playing three separate positions on your offensive line. You know, Tyler Smith will play one of those three positions, but you're not sure where yet. And then it's whatever's left over between left tackle and left guard and center that you've got to figure this out. Now, we talked in the last episode, you know, they could go a couple different routes. You can draft a tackle or a center and then move Tyler Smith based on that. You can say, hey, we're going to commit to guys that are already in the building. We're going to go Hoffman at center, Bass at guard, Tyler Smith at tackle. You can go through these different combinations if you want. But with all the focus that's been there on offensive line, some people talking about, hey, get an offensive lineman in the first, get one in the third. Like, let's throw as much, like, resources at this as we can. The question I'm wondering at this point is, what might we be neglecting? What is something that might need more attention than we're currently discussing, and saying, hey, look, you've got to find resources to devote to this position, whether it's, look, Brandon Cooks, CeeDee Lamb, that's great, but you got to find better depth at receiver behind those two, especially now that Michael Gallup's gone. You still don't know what Jalen Tolbert's going to be. You know, you look at the defensive line. You've lost four defensive linemen this offseason. Yeah. Got to go get some more. Linebackers, Eric Kendricks and Overshown come back from injury. Is that enough to cover what you need? Do you need safety? So just taking a look at that, Brian, what would you say is an area of this team or an area of this roster right now that we're maybe not giving enough attention and focus to as, hey, they need to get better here?
Yeah, I think that to me, Bobby, when you start to talk about this team and really where it's at, the defensive side of the ball is just, you know, I think about defensive tackle. I know you don't have a one technique. We've talked about that a bunch. Linebackers, you know, I was on with Vach Lombardi this morning. He and I were talking about, you know, with Kendricks, Overshown, Clark, are you a little bit better there? Can you kind of find a way to work around that? Safeties, interchangeable, do they have the right combinations of guys for that? I think is something that we have to look at. Corner, I think you got three guys, you know, with Bland and then with Diggs. You know, we'll see with Diggs coming back. Jordan Lewis playing the nickel. Maybe you want to add another guy there. Edge, I mean, you could address every single spot on the defensive side of the ball, and it would probably help your team.
Yeah.
If you said they took a linebacker, and by the way, you know, Peyton Wilson, the very talented linebacker one on my board from North Carolina State, is a 30-visit guy.
Oh, so, okay.
You know, they're going to look at the injuries there. You know, I'm sure that the doctors are, you know, I'm sure they saw him at the combine. He's been had two clean seasons, you know, but they're going to study him a little bit more. He's an incredible player. We all know that about the kid. You know, he is banged up, though. I mean, he has a injury history, put it that way. Shoulders, knee, things like that you're going to have to deal with. But your question is, what position are we we just overlooking? Man, just anything you take on defense is probably going to help. I just don't think they have a defensive tackle, though, especially a one technique. We'll see with Mozzie Smith. You know, Mike Zimmer is going to, you know, try and get Mozzie Smith, you know, to be the type of player that we saw him at Michigan. He's going to try. You know, we'll see if Mozzie can do that. But they really don't have. That's why, you know, when you look at mock drafts and stuff like that at 24, you know, you start to you look at the Texas kid Sweat.
Yeah.
You look at Fisk from Florida State. And if you took either one of those guys, people say, well, that's a damn reach. Not for a team that doesn't have any of these guys, you know. It's not a reach. They need that kind of player.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at on that.
I don't know. I guess one of the areas I'm looking at right now, Brian, as something that I think needs more focus, and I kind of referenced it right at the beginning, but look, Brandon Cooks is going to be a year
wide
older.
Receiver.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks is going to be.
I don't feel as bad, Bobby, because – and I'm sorry, I'll let you finish here real quick. I just don't feel as bad because the depth – we did a mock draft on DallasCowboys.com yesterday on the draft show. And Brian Thomas was still on the board when we picked at 24. And now you go down and there's all these receivers. You know, you could get down to the fifth round on some of these receivers and you're like, damn, I'm glad I got this guy. You know, I kind of feel like you can address that not having to take one, two, or three.
Yeah, that's fair. But just, I mean, to me, what I look at it as, like, if you do double dip on the offensive line, you've got potentially a running back you're taking in the second. I mean, you're talking about potentially neglecting, because at that point you would not take a receiver in the fifth round, I don't think. Because at that point you've done nothing to your defense and you really could use depth all across the board. So you're talking about like you're getting deeper into this draft and there's no receiver that you've touched yet. And with Cooksey, you're older, teams are going to target CeeDee Lamb. They're going to bracket him. They're going to try and take him out as much as you can. I just wonder if they've done enough to cover the receiver position. Now, running back is another one. A lot of people want to devalue running back. And I know we've talked about who they could be targeting potentially in the second or third round at running back, but they got to have somebody to carry the ball because right now they're just really thin there, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I think everything lines up with Brooks from Texas.
Makes a ton of sense.
It's just too clean. Dr. Cooper doing the surgery. Brian Schottenheimer going to a pro day, 30 visit. You know, it just makes too much sense. Me personally, if you miss on Brooks, if you miss on Benson, and we don't know if they like either one of these guys. They might not like Benson for all we know, you know. But like Lloyd from USC, Wright from Tennessee, Allen, we'll see. I mean, there's some, you're starting to hear some whispers about Allen, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. To me, I feel like the depth at wide receiver, if you told me, like on my board, we mentioned Baker from Central Florida.
Yep.
Fifth round. McCaffrey, Rice, you know, Johnny Wilson, Florida State. Johnny Wilson might be, he might be a big, they might make him a tight end. They might make him Darren Waller is who they might make him.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, Jackson, I mentioned from Tulane, Burton from Alabama, you know, Washington, USC, there's guys. I feel good about all those guys, you know. I really do feel good about McCaffrey. And I'm not saying that because of his brother, but, man, his dad was a hell of a player. His mom was a hell of an athlete. I mean, this guy's got the bloodlines. And, you know, you watch him play at Rice. He's a really good route runner. He catches everything. He's a great athlete. I mean, there's a lot to like about those guys. I think you could actually, hell, you could look in the fourth round too. Polk from Washington on my board, maybe a little higher. Rice, USC, you know. I just think there's going to be some guys that if Dallas takes one of these guys, it's not going to be like, oh, they just took a guy with traits. I think they're going to take a guy that's got some legitimate ability at wide receiver.
Yeah, and that's that. And I mean, look, this is the reason why it's so tough not to have a fourth round pick, though. This is another reason why it's tough not to have some of the stockpile of draft capital that you're hopefully going to have next year, for instance, with the comp picks you have coming your way. But it's because there are just so many things. No matter how you deploy these resources, even if they all hit, you still feel like you're short. Your roster's short. Yeah,
they have to. They're going to feel short. The one thing that the Cowboys also bank on, they might not spend money in free agency. Watch them spend money on UFAs, the UDFs, the undrafted free agents. Mm-hmm. Watch them spend, because those are guys that are on their board. There'll be some guys, they will sign, I guarantee you they'll sign three kids, maybe four kids, that are on their draft board, that went through the draft. That's the first area they attack. And they might not, they'll spend $50,000-$100,000 on a college free agent, you know.
Yeah,
they're not afraid to do that. But
they've I mean, it's absolutely something that, you know, they've shown a willingness to. There, every year, whenever we hear about, oh, this player, this was the undrafted free agent across the NFL who got one of the highest signing bonuses, Cowboys are usually involved in those types of deals
every time. They will not. Stephen Jones, Jerry, Will McClay, they believe in that second draft. They're like, okay, fine. We've got a budget of X amount of money. Let's go. And they will find a way to recruit kids, sign kids. They've got great rapport with the agents at this time. And what they do is they go right off their board. Like if they have a fifth, sixth, seventh round guy on their board, that's the first area they attack. And if they pick those guys off, then they go to priority free agents after that. Then they just go to the straight free agents. You know, they've got it broken down in tiers. And that's how they attack that thing. And they've had some success over the years of going out and getting, you know, going out and getting guys. Patrick Creighton, you know, guys like that.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right, and that'll be something else, another way that they'll go. That
right. Patrick Creighton was an undrafted guy, right?
I believe Miles Austin was for sure. Creighton was either seventh or undrafted. But, I mean, they've clearly hit on undrafted free agents. So there's Romo. They hit on Terrence Steele. Bass, you hope, is one of those guys. So, I mean, they've definitely done it. So
here I named a guy I wasn't even sure. I'm sure someone's going to text me and say, oh, he was a drafted guy.
You're listening to the Love the Star podcast. It is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, Brian, it is now time for our Dean Julia Love the Star mailbag. It's where we turn things over to our listeners, let them weigh in, get their questions answered, get their thoughts. First question here from Michael Stiegel. He says, who do you feel would be big enough fall that would cause the Cowboys to take another player in the second and not go Jonathan Brooks? Because we've talked about Jonathan Brooks seemingly being a good fit in the second round for what the Cowboys want to do. So if you were to look at the board in the second round, who's somebody that you could conceivably see falling down to them in the second round that would have you saying, oh, no, okay, well, even though we like Brooks and we need a running back, we got to get that guy.
Do you have a guy in mind?
Well, I would assume that if you did this, you're going to have taken offensive line in the first round.
That's what I was thinking too.
So I'm assuming going offensive line in the first round.
Could it be one of these tackles? Could it be Sweat or somebody like that?
Yeah. I mean, it feels like the cornerback.
They would take another one. I mentioned Wilson, the linebacker from North Carolina State. I think Wilson's going to have a grade on their board.
That would make sense. Here's what I would say. I think if you look at, I think corner is a little bit of a ice cream situation, like you talk about. People like different flavors, so they might have somebody that they're like, "Whoa, how did he slide down here? How did how did Lassiter get down here? Or whoever
Tampa
be
didn't run great from Iowa State yesterday.
No, right? He did not. They didn't have electric times at Big 12 Combine, but the hand times were
the 5.56,
like
range.
4.58, 4.57, and the tens were not. The 10-yard splits weren't great either. They're like 1.66.
Faster than that though, guy. That guy's big.
Well, his shuttle was the fastest of the DBs. He was 4.07.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So there's
same
just
thing like with King from Penn State, same type of, he didn't run a great time, but they're really good players.
Let's assume they take an offensive lineman in the first round and they say, hey, we have too many needs that even if the value's there, we can't really take another offensive lineman in the second, but it's still somebody big enough that if they slide to you, they wouldn't want Brooks. What if, Brian, let's say teams are scared off and I'm throwing out a big hypothetical. This probably doesn't happen at all, but we're just having fun. Yeah, what if teams are scared off by the medical on Latu and he's sitting there in the second round?
I turn the card in. Yeah, turn it in. I mean, that's to me. Again, now Jim Maurer, the trainer, is going to – there was a medical retirement for Latu at Washington.
Yep.
And you know, but you watch him at UCLA, he played. He is a first round player. When you watch him play, Latu, UCLA, Turner, Alabama, versus Florida State. Some people have Chop Robinson up in there too, you know?
I like Chop Robinson a lot.
See, that's what I'm saying. To me, I like Latu. I'm a big, big fan of his work. And so if he somehow got to you at 56 because of medical, man, I'd have a hard time walking away from that one.
Is there, and I mean, you guys were facing a receiver when you did the mock draft at 24. Is there a receiver that could fall to you in the second round that you go, man, this guy is too good for me not to, that you think could realistically, like, does, are they high on, did they not envision Keon Coleman from Florida State getting to them?
The thing with Keon Coleman, that's like the 4-6 thing. So maybe people would, you know, people would say, okay, well, that's, you know, we can't, you know, he's a 4-6 guy. We get, but man, you watch the tape, you know, you watch the tape and you're like, there's no way in hell he plays like a 4-6 guy. You know, he might run 4-6 in t-shirt and shorts and also run 4-6 with full pads. You know, he doesn't play slow. You
know? What about a, teams get scared off by just how small Nate Wiggins was? Again, unlikely, but if he gets all the way to the second round, are you saying, hey, I'll gamble on that size?
Yeah, that's a good one as well. I mean, that's a, you know, he's probably not for everybody because he is a, you know, he's a 170-pound guy, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I'll get the exact.
I believe he was 173.
173. I think at his pro day, he went total water weight and all that stuff like that. I think he put on like 5 pounds just to weigh in. Yeah, he's at 173. 6'1", 173. Guy's a hell of a player. He really is.
Yeah.
If he were to fall to you, you know, the thing about Zimmer, Mike's probably not going to want, Mike doesn't want a short guy, so Nate's kind of a 6'1 guy. That would be fine for him. Mike, from what I remember working with him, Mike likes guys that can run with and stay with guys is another thing too. So he's big about, I think, stickiness, I think, is important there. That's my experience working with Mike.
Yeah.
So no. I think those are things that you have to kind of remember when you're, like, looking at these players. Can Wiggins be that guy, you know? I think there's a lot of people that say he plays really well in zone. But mm-hmm. I see a super competitive guy there too.
Yeah.
So if he got to you, you mentioned two guys, Latu, Wiggins. If those guys were to get to you in the second round – yes, because I got first-round grades on both of them.
And I think it's important to note, at least under Dan Quinn, this team was not afraid of Emmanuel Forbes and his size. I mean, I think they had questions, but I think they ultimately felt comfortable enough with it. So I'd imagine if they view Wiggins, you know, positively, that they would then also feel like, all right, the size is not going to be a problem, because he's built similarly to Forbes in that sense.
Yeah.
Next question here from Coach Tony. What are your 1 month away predictions for picks 24 and 56, Brian?
I'm going to go with Guyton, and I'm going to go with our runner from Texas. So I'm going to
Jonathan Brooks.
I'm going to go Brooks. Yeah, I'm going to say they're going to take Guyton, the tackle. And I'm going to think they're going to take Brooks. I could be way wrong about that because I think they could take – all right, I could do this. I think it's – okay, how about this? I'm going to do either – it could either be a tackle, running back, or tackle, linebacker. How about that?
That's a good call. I'm looking at this. It's interesting. Guyton played right tackle at Oklahoma. Do you think he comes in here and he is your immediate starting left tackle? Or do you think they say we're drafting him, but he's not going into the starting lineup right away?
Yeah, you tried to convince me that we're going to
sit. I'm just asking.
Guys.
Just asking.
Yeah.
you don't like it. It made you mad last episode.
It really made me mad last time.
I think you're dead on with Brooks at 56. Yeah. That would be my pick right now. My pick right now, if you ask me today at 24, I would say – Graham Barton from Duke.
See, Graham Barton ain't getting to you after that workout yesterday, I don't think. See, people are looking at Graham Barton, and I would love Graham Barton. All 32 teams are at Duke's workout. Now, I know they've got some other players you got to worry about. Graham Barton is now going to overtake Powers Johnson because of Powers Johnson's health. Graham Barton is going to be the number one center on People's Boards. That's my prediction right there. Especially after the medicals came in.
Yeah. I mean, look, Barton is...
Let me tell you what, real quick, Bobby. I think that scouts that will know better will sell Jerry Jones that Tyler Guyton could be his next Flozell Adams.
Interesting.
6'8", 322, you know, length, athletic ability, movement skills, all that stuff. I could see where you sell Jerry Jones, if some veteran scouts were in that room that know Flozell Adams, if I was in that room, I would try and sell Jerry. If I really liked Guyton, I would sell him as Flozell Adams to Jerry. And I think that would get Jerry's attention.
Well, yeah, I mean, you remember, you've told us before how they got the attention of Jerry on Drew Henson.
You have to paint a picture. You have to remind Jerry, this guy is. And Jerry goes, oh, okay, all right. And Jim Garrett, I meant you mentioned it with Drew Henson. Jim Garrett said he's the next Troy Aikman. And, you know, Jerry looking over the top of his glasses. I mean, that's all Jerry had to hear.
Y'all all knew right then. Oh, crap.
Sean Payton whispered to me, goes, we're effed. Yeah, Sean Payton leaned over, goes, we're effed.
Yeah, and look, I mean, yeah, what was the pick given up? Third rounder?
Third round
for the rights to Drew Henson. Well, there you go. Well, that does it for us here today on the Love the Star podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We're getting closer and closer to the NFL draft. A lot of these questions will soon be answered for us. For Brian Broaddus, I'm Bobby Velt. We'll talk to you guys again later.